Father, we thank you that we can come, learn about you, what you have recorded for us to learn, that we can be encouraged, we can know that your promises are sure and true, and we can live with boldness to know that your word can be trusted. And I pray that that may be the case tonight. We'll grow in our understanding and our trust of you and your word, and it'll help us to live those lives that are pleasing to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you remember last week, I said how I wanted to look at some prophetic themes throughout the scripture. And last week we looked at Jesus Christ, his birth, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, and his reign. And as you can see, today we're looking at the kingdoms to come. We are told in Isaiah, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Here we're told that God declares the end from the beginning. He's able to tell us what the end is going to be, even before it begins. That's pretty amazing. And so the question is, does that mean that he knows which nations are going to rise to power, dominate, and then disappear when another nation comes? Well, my word, he can. He can tell us that. He can go one step further, and that is, he can not only know it, but he can also bring it to pass. He can raise up a nation, and then he can take that nation's power away from it as he pleases. And in his word, he's plainly prophesied about various nations that will rise and fall. And the blessing for us is we have the luxury of time and being able to look back in time and see how so many of these prophecies have come to pass, as he said. Now, I can't say they've all come to pass, because there are still future prophecies which should encourage us. If the past were fulfilled exactly the way he said, surely the ones that are yet to come to pass, we can trust will be so. And I take much courage from the prophecies that are made about the future. And I know for me that what has brought me the greatest amount of encouragement and trust in God's word is the prophecies that he has about various kingdoms that will come and go throughout history. God predicts many nations that will rise, but I've decided to stick to the prophecies where he deals with five major nations that will rule much of the world, not all the world, that world that is specifically for God's people and those around him. Certainly doesn't predict what's going to happen in Australia or America and various places like that, but that seedbed of history for us and the Word of God, and particularly revolving around his people Israel. And this is found in Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 8. You can turn there. I think it'd be good to just check that what I have up on the screen is the same as what's in the Bible, just in case I don't slip anything in. We know that Israel became a nation, had many kings, yet because they rejected the Lord through serving idols instead, he raised up many nations to bring them back to himself. They were used as a form of chastisement. Yet we know that their hearts got harder and harder, to the point where the Lord raised up the Babylonians. He even predicted that with Hezekiah, when Hezekiah showed the Babylonians through the city and also through the temple and the treasury. God sent a prophet and said, they're going to come and get it all one day. And they did. Babylon came under the power of Nebuchadnezzar and destroyed the city, most of it, destroyed the city of Jerusalem, I should say, and the temple and the walls, killed thousands upon thousands, yet they took some back to Babylon as well. And we know that one young man that he took back was Daniel. He loved the Lord, and the Lord used him in a mighty way. And Daniel was shown the great nations of the future from his time onwards. And we stand in that unique position to be able to test God and see if he was right in what he told Daniel. For Daniel, he had to just receive it in faith. Yet we can see if God got it right. And as we'll notice, he did get it right. We're told in Daniel chapter 2 how the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had a dream. He wouldn't tell all his magicians and wise men what the dream was, yet he wanted them to tell him what the dream was and what the interpretation was as well. And we know that the Lord revealed this dream to Daniel and the interpretation. And so we read there in chapter 2, verse 29, as he's standing before the king, "As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass." So Daniel says, God's told you what's going to happen in the future. And then he goes on to tell him what the dream was. And I suspect Nebuchadnezzar knew exactly what the dream was, but now he could be assured that Daniel knew what he was talking about also. And he says this in verse 31, "Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image, this great image whose brightness was excellent and stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thigh of brass. His legs of iron, his feet part iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till what a stone was cut, that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of the iron and clay and brake them in pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." So he had a dream similar to this. Great statue, various parts of the body made of different metals, and then a rock fashioned not by man came and destroyed the whole lot and became a huge mountain. And so Daniel gives him this dream, and he explains how the dream tells of five major kingdoms that will rule over the known world of that area. And Daniel tells them that the four major parts of the statue represent four actual kingdoms. Let's see what he says. "This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them. Thou art the head of gold." So Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar that he is represented in that head of gold. If we have a look at a timeline, that 600 is 600 BC, before Christ, and Babylon came along at this time, and they reigned for 66 years. Not so much, they were a kingdom longer than that, but this is when they came to the height of their power. And we have a look at the orange part. They ruled over a considerable part of that part of the world. And they got down into Egypt, and they came over. They certainly dominated Jerusalem as well. And so that was the first one. But then Daniel goes on And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. Now, when he means inferior, it doesn't mean that they won't have as much land or take over as much of the world, but it won't be as glorious or as spectacular. And so he's saying that the silver represented that. The Medo-Persian monarch lasted 208 years. And if we have a look at that, last from there. And they take up a considerable more amount of the area. And then we read, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. Well, you already read that. And then another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. Now, we can look back in time and know that historically we see that the writings confirm that in 331 BC, the Greek armies destroyed the last Persian king during the famous Battle of Arbela. Very famous. I've never heard of it, but I suspect it was famous for them. The Greeks saw victory by the powerful and young king Alexander the Great. The Greek Empire was then established. Its rule actually covered far more territories than the two previous kingdoms. The reign of the Greek Empire of Alexander lasted 163 years. So we have that there. And I remember watching a documentary. He even went into India and various parts. They went a considerable amount of time. Then he says, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all things shall it break in pieces and bruise. So it talks about a fourth kingdom, which is going to be a very fierce kingdom. Anyone who knows history will know that one of the fiercest of all was the Roman Empire, who came along. History tells us that around 168 BC, it was the Roman Empire's turn to enjoy supreme rule. The kingdom reigned until AD 476. So it reigned 650 years. I can't fit them in. It takes it up past Christ's time as well. They took over lots of other parts of the world as well. I just can't fit it all in there. And so, what we have here is, in this dream, Daniel says, Nebuchadnezzar, this is going to talk about various nations. You've got you, you're the head. So that was pretty easy. I can't say that's really prophecy because he was there. So that was a good one. Then he says, another nation after Babylon will rule. And then Daniel says, then a third nation will rule. And then he says, a fourth nation will rule. And so that's all we actually get out of this dream about these four nations. And so it is rather vague in that sense. I could probably tell you, maybe I'll get it right, but I could say, yeah, we've got the nation now, then we're going to have another one, then another one, and then another one, you know, and I might get it right. You never know. So that's not real specific. But we're going to leave it there. We're not going to look at the feet and the toes and the rock that comes and destroys it all as yet, because there is more information about these other nations, particularly the second and the third nation. And that's found in Daniel chapter 8. In Daniel chapter 8, we read how Daniel had a dream that really disturbed him. It says in chapter 8, verse 1, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was in Shushan, in the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai, Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other. And the higher came up first. What am I saying? Linda says, you think you need to use your glasses when you're up there? It's got nothing to do with glasses. It's just my brain says words that it thinks it's saying. So he saw something probably a little bit more terrifying than this. But he saw, as we read there, a vision. And he saw a ram with two horns. One was higher than the other. And the higher one came up last. Now, if you remember, we had Babylon, and then the Medes and the Persians were a combination of two kingdoms joined together. And we, if you study Daniel and Daniel in the lion's den and all that sort of stuff, you'll discover that what happens is, at first, the Medes were the more powerful of the two. But it wasn't long before the Persians became the dominant part of the duo, and they were really the ones that dominated the world. So we talk about the Medes and the Persians. The Medes were first the stronger ones, but the Persians became the more powerful, just as God predicted that would be the case. But he saw a ram. And he says, and I saw a ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. And he did according to his will and became great. Then he had a vision of something like this. He sees a goat with a horn. One horn, one big horn in the middle of his head, says verse 5. And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. That means it was going fast. And we know that Alexander the Great conquered the world very quickly. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. So he saw a vision of something like this happening. And then it says, therefore, the he-goat waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And four it came up, four notable ones before the four winds of heaven. And so we see here, there's a ram with the two horns. Then comes a goat with a notable horn. Kills the ram, and then when he's in his power, that notable horn is broken off, and four horns come out. Well, what does that all mean? Well, thankfully, we're given the interpretation of this vision, and also we're told of which kingdoms this represent. And wonderful thing is, church history tells us how this came to pass so wonderfully, because this is what the angel said. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, the Greeks. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. We know that as Alexander the Great. Now, I'll show you something interesting at this point. Alexander the Great, when he was conquering all the known world that he had, he went to Jerusalem. And the Jews were absolutely scared he was going to come and wipe them all out. And it's a wonderful story of, if you read the story, and Josephus, a historian who lived in the days of the disciples, recorded all the events of the Jews previous to this. He actually, when they came out, all the priests with their bonnets, you know, dressed up in what God said, he actually bowed to them. This is Alexander the Great. And they said, well, why would you do that? And he said, well, I had a dream, and there was someone in a bonnet, headpiece, and telling me that the God of heaven is with me, and he's going to give me victory over the Persians. And I haven't seen anyone in all the world that had garb like this until I met you guys. And so I believe that you serve the true God of heaven. So that's why he bowed to them. And so they took him in to Jerusalem. And this is what Josephus records. And when he went into the temple, he offered sacrifice to God according to the high priest's direction, and magnificently treated both the high priest and the priest. And when the book of Daniel was showed him, wherein Daniel declared that one of the Greeks should destroy the empire of the Persians, he supposed that himself was the person intended. Isn't that cool? They go, hey, God's written about you. He said that you're the first one. You're going to be that goat that comes up, or that ram, and you're the notable horn, and you're going to destroy the Persians. Now, they probably didn't read on where it says, and when he's in his prime, it's going to be broken. All right, probably left that little bit out, you know. Don't want to upset the guy. But he could read about himself, and he went and he did take control and destroy the Persians, as was prophesied. Now, after Alexander died, remember it says that when the notable horn was broken, four horns would come up after him. And history books tell us, it says there, now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it. Four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his own power. So they'll get their power from that first king. And we're told that the four generals of Alexander the Great took a slice of the kingdom after him. And it was basically broken up into four areas, as you can see, the different colours there. Just as God said it would happen. And so we have history unfolding. If you could live for hundreds of years, you could just read this happening and see it happening as God said. And so, when we have a look at Daniel 2 and Daniel 8 combined, God predicts that Babylon will be the first greater nation, then the Medes and the Persians will come, then the Greeks, and then he says a fierce nation. He never mentions Rome, but we can look back in time and see that that's what came to pass. Now, if we move on from there, it says, and whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Now, I'm not going to stand here and pretend that I know exactly what that's talking about. There are different views about that in the various mixing of nations and so on. But what we do know is, in Daniel's interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, it didn't foretell a fifth major kingdom to follow the fourth. It wasn't going to have that fourth one, the Romans, and then another big nation. But there was going to be a mixing of nations for a while, or no one really taking control. And so in that prophecy, with that feat, we have Babylon, Medes and Persians, Greeks, fierce nation, and then a dividing of the nations. And we can look back and see how this came to pass. Medes and Persians came after Babylon, then came the Greeks, then came the Romans. And since then, there hasn't been a dominating nation in all of that region like it has been before. Now, the good news is the prophecy didn't end there, did it? Because he went on to say, and in the days of these kings, that's represented in the toes, the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these nations, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. And so, the next dominating nation to come after Rome is God's nation. And it says, which shall never be destroyed. Now, I don't know if that gets you excited, but that gets me excited, because we see here that big ball of fire that we got up there, that destroys all that. That's a picture of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In, I think I got it here, in Luke, it says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. So it was foretold, this is the one that's going to reign. This is the one that Nebuchadnezzar dreamt about. And all the kingdoms have come and gone. The last one, Christ's, is yet to come. You know, if you were living in the Persian day, you might have thought about the coming Christ. That was a long time to come. If you were with the Greeks, a long time to come. Even the Romans, a long time to come. There's been a mixing of the nations for a long time now. And so there's nothing else that needs to come. The fact that those first four prophecies of coming kingdoms came true, how Alexander would be that first king who destroyed quickly and be broken off, and then four would come up after him. The fact that all of these came true gives me supreme confidence that there is that fifth one is going to come to pass as well. In Revelation, I think it's 18 or 19, it talks about how the nations of the world will be gathered against Jerusalem. All the kings of all the nations rise up against Jerusalem, and then Jesus will come. Not like that. It's like coming out of the sky and destroy them. Just like that dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And so we have this warning, and this is interesting. This is the warning that Daniel gave Nebuchadnezzar. He should have heeded it. If he doesn't, we should at least heed it when we can see how much has come true. But he says, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. We can be sure Jesus is coming again. And we should take great courage in that. We need to be ready for his coming. I trust you are. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can know the future. We may not know what's going to happen tomorrow. You said, no man knoweth what a day may bring. But we know what your future plans are for us as individuals, for our world, your future plans for your son, Jesus. And Lord, I want to reign with him for all eternity, and I trust everyone here does as well. Let us be ready. Let us serve faithfully till he comes. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.